What gets your heart beating these days? We each have our list, but let's start with a simple one. I find myself nearly every time I watch some previously recorded television show with eyes bugging out when I see a handshake. Now, this is how new normalized I am. I don't think twice about people wearing masks in every public space, of lathering up with a cardiac surgeon supply of sanitizer before touching a doorknob, but a handshake on TV, that's wild. Don't get me started if there's some sort of hug involved. It's interesting to play this pre-rational game, to note what it is we're reacting to viscerally, deep down, and then to try to understand the why of our response. Like a lot of others, I think I miss some of our tangible world, the touching, the contact, some of the stuff that grounds our faith. Think about it. God takes flesh. That's the central revelation of Christianity. God near enough to touch us, to take bread and wine, to use water and oil, physical stuff, and reveal himself, his love, his connection. Well, we can sit in a bare room and prayerfully open ourselves to the mystery of God. It's easier when we have these additional supports. And while this is perfected in Christianity, in the person of Jesus Christ connecting us to Father and Spirit, it's really firstly an inheritance from our Jewish brothers and sisters. They give us this sensate sensibility. Look at our first reading, for instance. Exodus gives us a scene Cecil B. DeMille could, well, in fact, did, work with. Mountain, and tablets, and smoke. Things tangible, things understandable, things pointing to the divine. I don't want to focus on one verse, the one that had me putting the readings down and walking away, the one that caused a reaction in me, the one that comes last. This indeed is a stiff-necked people, yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own. God's revelation has come, and Moses offers this as his final stunned plea. God, you know what kind of people we are. You know whom you're making a covenant with. You know us. And yet, please still come. Please journey with us. Please show us your mercy. This is beautiful stuff. But my summation is a bit loose in the translation. How does Moses actually describe the people? How does he describe them here and five other times in Exodus and Deuteronomy in a more tangible way? This indeed is a stiff-necked people. Some translations substitute the descriptor for obstinate, stubborn, churlish, even if their community apparently is preparing for the SAT. But this is the literal Hebrew. This is our tangible inheritance. This indeed is a stiff-necked people. To be stiff-necked. What have these last 2 weeks been but a movement between stiff and limp necks? Our world trying to process still the murder of George Floyd and now all its aftermath. Now, before we all deep exhale and think, I came here to get away from all this talk, reflect again on the roots of our faith, on our hardwired call to touch the tangible, on God using the stuff of our experience to reveal himself, to chart our course, In moments of tragedy, we have a capacity to fly away from our normal tendency of touching and feeling and seeing. It's all too much to bear, perhaps, too sad. It's all too much to stomach. Already entrenched sides using an event just to prove points they've already concluded on. It's all too much to wrap our minds around. Moments of those protesters turning into destructive looters, those police turning into abusive bullies. Our tangible faith, though, whispers, do not look away. Do not take your hand off. Do not become stiff-necked. In Catholic theology, there's a concept known as the preferential option for the poor. This is something we've also inherited from our Jewish predecessors, the Old Testament law having its severity tempered by a consistent concern for the so-called anawim, the orphan, the widow, the helpless. The preferential option for the poor means we respond, first and foremost, to the anawims of our day, they who are most vulnerable and in need, the youngest and weakest, the most tender, most fragile. Any parent understands this, right? Heck, a dog owner even can. I offer the attention needed here and now to the one who most needs it. Not at the expense of anyone else, but because of the need. The preferential option for the poor draws Catholics into the pro-life movement, fighting for the life of the unborn, accompanying those with unplanned pregnancies. The preferential option for the poor gets Catholics supporting those at the end of life's journey, steadfast that human dignity remains no matter ability or function or income, remains no matter the pandemic being faced. The preferential option for the poor allows Catholics to say, Black lives matter, really to proclaim it, to shout it, to hear it echoed back. We deal with the tangible need in our midst, the need most clearly present, not at the expense of other needs, but because our tangible faith demands it. Because that preferential option for the poor goes all the way back to those disconnected Israelite anawim. Because that's the way our God has always dealt with us. This indeed is a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own. We might be stiff-necked often. We might fly from unpleasantries. We might ignore needs that we don't think really touch our doorsteps. But God knows that about us from the beginning and continues to descend low, bending his neck when we won't, leading us on. God, the Holy Trinity, covenants with us, makes home with us, we're reminded today. May this commitment, this journey, this focus allow us to be a bit more like our God this week, less stiff-necked and more tangibly caring, embracing a preferential option for the poor and being embraced by the divine. Black lives matter. Our hearts should be beating to that these days.